October 19th, 2008. You're listening to the TFormers.com podcast. Welcome to the TFormers.com podcast. I'm your host, Iron High 1975, and I'm joined,
as always, by Zip Piper, now with 25% less saccharine.
Ooh, less saccharine? What if I want saccharine? Mm. Some of us like saccharine in our stuff, even though it completely rots our stomachs.
Great.
Well, we had actually a full show with the Moonbase 2 guys, but thanks to basically me forgetting to press one button on the computers, the audio was completely messed up, so we will probably have those guys back on next week. I apologize to them. They're aware of everything, but sorry guys, promise to have you on next week, and it'll be a four-way. So all right, that being said, moving on to
woo, first shot of the night. Moving on. You're gonna get me plastered by the end of this thing. Right on.
Oh that's right. For those of you playing at home, every time Anthony says, moving on, you may take a drink. Thanks for reminding me about that. All right. All right. The first story is DreamWorks Inc.'s distribution deal with Universal. Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks Pictures announced on Monday that they have inked a distribution deal with Universal Studios, reports Entertainment News International. As reported before, Mr. Spielberg will continue to have a hand in the Transformers film franchise. And I forgot to copy the rest of that article, but you sort of get the idea. So what do we think? I mean, he's pretty much going to have his hand in so that's probably a good thing, I would imagine.
Oh, well, certainly. I mean, it's the typical thing. I mean, we talked about last week how he's getting, you know, they're working with a company who we don't know the complete legal ramifications, but one would assume he gets a lot more control and more say. Because, I mean, I'm sure that there was some boardroom meeting that it was something along the lines of, I'm Steven Spielberg. You're not telling me what to do. And the suits being, well, actually, we own these properties, so yes, we are. And then he's like, well, all right, well, I'm, you know, screw you guys. I'm going home. And, you know, so moving on from there. So, yeah, he's still going to obviously be distributing, right. Distributing with the you know, with the big boys over here. But sadly, like many other things in America, it's going to India.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the way a lot of stuff is going. All right. Well, yeah. Also, we got...
Well, yeah, with the movie news, the character of a Fig may still
figs,
be...
Figs.
Figs. Well, figs,
he
plural.
He was the guy that's like, my mother had the gift, you know.
Yes. So he may still be alive and may be back for Transformers 3. I apologize if I mispronounce this name, but Amory Nolasco, the actor who portrayed ACWO Jorge Fig Figuera in Transformers, is quelling fears that his character died in the first film. In fact, director Michael Bay wanted to bring the character back to reprise his role, but declined due to scheduling conflicts with Prison Break. However, Mr. Nolasco told MTV that he knows executive producer Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay are hoping to do more sequels, and they've left the door open for Fig to rejoin the party. Now, I mean, granted, I realize that, you know, he was a pretty decent character, but I got to tell you, you know, I really wasn't lying awake at night wondering if he truly was dead. I mean, when you've got huge, incredibly powerful robots, yeah. I want to see some death. It adds a little realism. You can't just, you know, walk away unscathed. I wanted, hell, I wanted to see Shia LaBeouf, you know, but anyway.
Well, that's not going to happen. Although he almost killed himself in real life, but that's a whole other story.
Yes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I was talking with the Moonbase 2 guys. They're like, Transformers 3 is just going to be Fig hunting Scorponok. And I could just picture him like, kill me now,
get to the chopper. Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
All right. Well, also. So,
yeah. We have Frank Welker. Yay! Was contacted by Paramount for Transformers 2.
And this is coming exclusively from Moonbase 2.
Yes. He has been directly contacted by Paramount Pictures through the U.S. Postal Service, reports Moonbase 2. Now, before I move on, I have to ask this. So is this just some mail carrier or postal employee looking and seeing it says Frank Welker?
Yes.
I mean, really? I mean, is it? Because, I mean, you can't screw with the mail.
Well, I know. That's the thing. It's like, it's sort of like, wow, that security on our postal service is really not that good.
But, I mean, really, for all we know, it could have been an invitation to the Time Life Library of Books. We don't know if it has anything to do.
Well, no, it came from Paramount.
Okay.
From Paramount to Frank Welker.
Right, but that does that necessarily... While he is iconic as far as voices go for that.
And it could be doing many things over at Paramount.
So really...
It could be for dog voices for a cartoon.
That's my point with this. It's like, as much as I would like to put one and two together here, we don't know, right? It's just an address on an envelope.
It's just an address and saying it's going to him. It may not even be the same Frank... I mean, there might be another Frank Welker out there somewhere.
Okay, so really, grain of salt.
You would think that if it was something like a contract to be hand courier delivered or something like that.
Well, in addition, you also would have thought that it would have been done earlier than now. I mean, I know that post-production is going to take a little while, but, you know, typically, you know, you record the voices and things like that a little bit before.
But I think it would be very, I mean, I think he should be Soundwave. I mean, he didn't get Megatron, which still is a big pet peeve.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think he should at least get Soundwave.
And especially with how much, not as a little aside there to, you know, add credence to that, is that, yeah, with how much they altered the voice, until somebody told me it was Hugo Weaving, I never would have guessed it was Hugo. Right. So if you're really going to just bastardize the voice that much, why can't we just get the classics in there? I mean, really, just for nostalgia purposes.
Well, the rumor was that he was having a hard time doing the voice, but we've heard various bits of him doing it recently. It was fine.
Well, and
we saw him on Robot Chicken. We saw him on the... on the DVD.
Yeah, and it's not like you can't use the wonderful bits of technology to further stretch those things out.
Yeah, well, it takes a little bit of a technique because the video game voice it did not sound good at all. The person doing the Megatron voice and doing the post-production really has to know how to do the extra stuff.
Oh, well, certainly. And it's also what your budget is, too. And obviously, you know, films have bigger budgets than video games, well, most of the time.
But the rumor is that Soundwave, and jumping to some other small little side tangents, he's supposedly going to be a satellite. And then the rumor is when he comes to Earth, he's going to become a truck. And at first it was rumored to be a pickup truck, but now they're saying, no, it's not a pickup truck. It's like a sound dish truck, which is what he's going to be.
Fair enough.
What do you think about that for Soundwave?
Doesn't really do a lot for me. I mean, frankly, I mean, since the Transformers can really, you know, be almost anything that they, you know, I guess scan.
Right.
I understand the need to be more mobile and covert, but I don't know. I mean, just, you know, I've said it before that I don't like all the, they're not even gestalts, but just the, I split into 3 to 4 different parts and we come together to form whatever.
Speaking of that.
Well, hang on. I got to finish this one thing, but I mean, the ice cream truck to me sounds lame. If this is just one of those stupid little news vans with a satellite dish on top, that sounds a little lame to me, too. Yeah. But if it's what it needs for the character, you know, to move from place to place and do his covert stuff, maybe he's got, you know, the little cassettes, you know,
well,
that are
supposedly, like, the engine is ravaged and the spare wheel will be laser-based.
Yeah, I mean, if he can, you know, if he's basically the transport to get from place to place, I mean, that's the way it used to be in the cartoon. Laserbeak and Ravage were your main reconnaissance, you know, folks, and that's fine. So, I mean, I'll deal with it. It's not as ridiculous as an ice cream truck that splits into two, but it's fine.
Well, speaking of splitting into two, the other rumor is that RC, the three bikes that they've been seeing, actually split into three, and that forms RC.
Yeah, see, to me, that's just ridiculous. There's no need for that to happen.
Here's the logic for it. Follow my logic here. They said they needed to make Prime not a stub-nosed truck because they needed the extra mass. In order to make RC have the same mass as with the other Autobots, she would need three bikes to probably equal the same height. Now, of course, the question is, if she lost one bike, what would happen? Well, in my opinion, she would just rescan. grocery carts at the shopping mall, and then she would be grocery cart RC.
But to me, I don't necessarily buy that. I understand the mass thing, right. But you know what? Hey, how about a great touring Goldwing motorcycle? If you've seen those are huge,
right.
And they're wide. And if you need more mass, throw on a sidecar. Right. I mean, you know, you get a Goldwing with a sidecar. Yes, I realize it's not the rad hip racing bikes crotch rockets that you're going to have screaming down, but it solves the problem. And to me, I'm just the crotchety old fan that it's ridiculous to me.
Well, the question is too. We have the two characters forming an ice cream truck. We have RC.
They're overusing
idea. And supposedly, rumor that Jetfire and Optimus Prime are going to combine.
See, they're overusing.
They're overusing. So they might as well just name this Transformers 2 the Combinations. You know.
Yeah, I just to me that's just too much. One robot that does that.
Right.
Okay.
Devastator. Maybe the ice cream truck.
That's enough. But really, if you need RC to be something more, then let's not make her a bike. I mean, if you don't want to go with the heavy set bikes, then make her another bloody car.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sorry. But to me, that is something I will absolutely not enjoy. And it would be something, you know, I would enjoy it if they did address it. If she's screaming down in her little trifecta of crotch rockets and one of them totally gets owned and she transforms and she's missing like her left leg and part of her right shoulder or something along those lines. And she's GIMP, and they have to repair her.
Right.
That would at least make me feel better. But, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of going off here.
That's fine. We'll just have to wait and see what they do with the movie. Yeah. I'm hoping, too, if they introduce RC, that it's more than just a stagnant character. Because, you know, even in the movie, the original movie, she had a little bit of personality that, you know. So like I'm hoping she actually has more than a couple of just few witty female
One would think that since the Transformers are typically the domain of boys and men, that since this is the only real female character, you know, that's not obviously your Sunday dish like Megan Fox is, that they would want to get her involved more to try to bring, you know, the girls and like, oh, I want an RC Transformer, you know, toy. So, I mean, just from a marketing standpoint, they would want to probably give her more lines than just, you know, I'm here to save the day or whatever. But anyway,
all right, well, speaking of marketing.
Well, anyway, just
going on to toys.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we don't need to worry about the rest of that with the Frank Welker. Yeah, because, I mean, he got a package. We don't know what it is.
No.
And somebody from UPS found it. And there you go.
It could say, Frank, we would love for you to be Megatron. You must first kill Hugo Weaving.
Why, yes. If Frank happens to listen to this, please drop us a line. Let us know what's going on.
All right. Well, we also have in toy news, new looks at Universe Hound, Beachcomber, Brawn, and more. We have some new looks at upcoming Transformers Universe figures, Hound with Ravage, Cyclonus with Nightstick, Generation 1 Colored Starscream, and Legends Brawn and Beachcomber. The Legends figures are courtesy of Comus of TF08, while the other three are the eBay seller Gojulus Prime 23. The third figure is the TF08 batch's Razorclaw, soon to be released with the Special Team Leaders 5-pack. Take a look at all these guys, of course, in the various pictures located in the gallery of tformers.com. So one of the things, I mean, I really like the fact that the little guys, Brawn and Beachcomber look really nice. These look like the toys we should have gotten a long time ago, in my opinion.
I agree. Beachcomber is nice. But again, you know, technology being a lot more, you know, a lot better now as far as the transforming goes. I think, now, are these the test colors or are these the, because the color on Brawn is really poor.
Well, supposedly the first thing we saw, his wheels were green, so we're getting closer to what seems to be the official release.
Well, I'm hoping, otherwise our little customizers out there would probably have to take a good paintbrush to it, because really, the color that I'm looking at right now looks like cheap cupcake frosting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like Survey. It has like a shiny glow.
Beachcomber looks good. Those colors to me are on. But Brawn, I mean, that's like a pansy sea green. Not really what I would think of for the. Well, you're colorblind, remember.
Oh, that's true,
So I'm seeing something you probably aren't. But yeah, to me, that I just don't think the toughest little Autobot in pastels, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Hi, I'm Brawn, a new pastel flavor.
Yeah.
All right.
Paisley.
We also have Henkei C12 Cheetor and Henkei C13 Hound. Robot Kingdom website has updated with new product pre-orders, including news about the Takara Henkei Classics Cheetor and Hound. Also listed are Takara Transformers Encore reissues Trailbreaker and Hoist Generation 1 reissues. So once again, they've taken sort of what's coming in the universe set and done their own little spin on things. As soon as I find where...
At least it's a little more than a yay repaint, right?
No, it's pretty much a yay repaint. But, great. You know, the Takara Tomy people at least add a little bit more to it in terms of maybe some die-cast metal or some silver.
Now, to me, anytime you want to add die-cast metal to a toy, I would pay the money for that.
Right.
I mean, as long as it's more than, like, you know, not just the bolts that hold it together.
Well, you saw, I got, you know, Henkei Thundercracker box, nothing to be great about. Box is like, wow, you're really releasing that.
And well, Chrome doesn't. I mean, while Chrome is nice and looks good, I would not buy a toy for that. But if you come out with a good, well put together metal chested version, metal feet, you know, things like that, I'll pay the money for that. Because that's a toy you can have fun with. All right, so we've got the Fans Project Shadow Commander trailer set. So the Shadow Commander trailer set is a custom kit created by Fans Project for use with the Nemesis Prime figure. Now, the Nemesis Prime truck figure is pictured in several of the pictures in the gallery, but is not included with this set, they have to say. So only the add-on trailer parts are included. Nemesis Prime is available separately, of course, you know, but just keep in mind, it's just the trailer. So the Shadow Commander features a new translucent pink sword accessory as well as a sword clip. The figure will be constructed of high-quality ABS plastic, and Fans Project has further improved the structure and construction of this figure through the use of additional metal screws, several improved joints, and even higher-quality plastic and various other refinements. The figure will also be packaged with an all-new comic-style instruction book and a new box design. So the set is limited to roughly half the number of City Commander sets that were produced, and Fans Project did an amazing job designing the trailer, and your Nemesis Prime will look even better than ever. So please note that the pictures that you'll see in the gallery showing all the different you know, parts of the trailer shows the sword in black, and the actual sword will be clear pinkish-reddish.
Well, actually, I think they updated that, but here are the photos. And then I'll show you they actually made a really, really cool 3D animation.
Now that looks very top-notch.
I know.
See, now that I can really, because I mean, I was never a huge fan of the color scheme of Ultra Magnus. I mean,
well,
I'm sorry, red, white, and blue is a little too trite for me.
This is Nemesis Prime.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is ideally the same model, right?
Right,
same, but just different color scheme. But I just, the darker feel of it. Yeah, because we've updated the thing's good. Excellent. Yeah, that's awesome. I love the gray and the black.
Now let me show you, let me jump back to this little animation they did, which this here just looks really sweet and shows you how to even transform the thing. Wow.
Now that is damn cool.
Wow.
That was really well done.
That is a really well done. If only they did that for every toy. That would be the best way to show how to transform a toy.
Yeah, that was really nice.
We should get a freaking CD in each of our packages as well as that. Come on, Hasbro, step up the game here. Wow. I mean, just have
now
to...
how much are these retailing for?
About $88.
That's just for the trailer, right?
Just the trailer.
And then Nemesis Prime, is he still being produced?
Yeah, he's at the Hasbro Toy Store. You have to buy him. He's about $20, I think.
So okay.
But you figure after you're done with shipping, you're spending $150 to get it here. So,
150, 88 plus 20, my man.
It's 100 plus tax and shipping.
You're going to spend $40 to ship it?
Yeah, if it comes from Japan.
Oh, it has to come from Japan?
Usually, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then there you go.
So, all right.
Well, that was just fine, I must say.
All right. And now the story that's really long and that Jason's going to hate.
So we have the first look at the MP08 Grimlock prototype, the Disney Transformer. and Henkei. Okay.
Henkei.
So, wow, do we have some crazy news for you? Yay, Disney Transformers. After confirming that Masterpiece Grimlock is going to finally come to fruition, And reporting on the possibility of a Mickey Mouse Transformer, because there's so many gaping holes in my lives that need to be filled with Disney Transformers. We now have images to show you. First up, the one you have been waiting for.
Masterpiece.
The Masterpiece Grimlock. As reported before, the price point is 13,000 yen, or about 130 US dollars.
Prices to go down on the US dollars as the US economy collapses.
Right. With a March 2009 release at this time. So, the figure will have an LED light in the right fist for the ability to light up the gun and the sword. That's cool. The eyes can also change colors in both modes, and the figure is partly made up of die-cast construction. Right on. Hagas Jin writes the accessories allow for a waiter mode, as in, like, you know, may I serve your drinks?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Which explains the tray the figure is holding in dino
there
mode.
There was one episode in season 3 where he was dressed in a waiter's gown at some party or whatnot, and it was him and Daniel stumbled into some time thing afterwards, but Grimlock was basically a waiter.
I can't imagine Grimlock could be a good waiter.
Bad. It was,
so that's a little nod to that, then. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice nod, but it's like a nod to when the Dinobots were lobotomized. It's,
great.
It's like, you didn't have to do that.
So next, not only do we have confirmation of the Transformers Disney Mickey Mouse...
Oh, not enough Energon.
Oh, God. We have visual confirmation as well. So sadly, it's not a dream. It's, yeah. The figure will cost 3,990 yen, or 40 US dollars. The colored version will hit shelves February 2009, while the black and white version hits shelves in March 2009. Now, let me ask you this. Is this like the regular modern Mickey versus like the Steamboat Willie version? Is that what we mean by black
question,
and white?
That's a good question, but here you go. Here's your photos. Here's Masterpiece Grimlock. There he is holding a tray. There he is in robot mode.
Yeah, Grimlock looks good, but my eye goes down. Like, do we need... I mean, now, unless Mickey is going to transform from the little wuss-puss character that he is into some crazy big kick-ass thing and go stomping through Toontown. I mean, I'm not...
He transforms into a truck.
Great. Does he make music when we pull him across?
I don't think it looks
I'm not
bad,
trying to
but
irritate the Disney files here. Yeah. I just... This, to me, is...
Stretching.
You know, it's like... Peanut butter and chocolate, right? Two great tastes taste great together. Exactly. I love my Reese cups.
Yeah.
This to me
is caramel, the caramel version where you're like,
I don't even this is just, this is ridiculous to me. I mean, it's just, it should not happen. I don't want a transforming, you know, Jasmine. I just don't I don't need Disney Transformers.
Transforming rug from Aladdin.
Anyway. So, yeah, the figure will transform from a trailer truck to a robot. Mickey Mouse is in the driver's seat while in vehicle mode and on top of the robot's head, as shown in the silhouette of the figure there. So like, is Mickey driving a mech then?
I guess that's what it is. It's like a Transor Z type thing, maybe.
I can buy that a little more since that's not actually like Mickey as a transforming robot, but that's still lame. All right. We also now have confirmation that the Transformers Alternity A02 will be Megatron. The information also confirms that the alternate mode is a Nissan Fairlady Z, aka the Nissan 350Z in the States, and will be available in silver and blue flavors when released in March 2009. So Hagas Jin also lets us know that the Alternity Megatron will feature die-cast, rubber tires, and has the automatic transformation gimmick Synchrotech. So from these images of the C-16 and C-17 figures, C-16 is a hot rod or a smoke screen. So we have that. And then there's also the C-17 is the Dinobot. So continuing the trend, these figures will hit shelves March 2009. That sounds like it's going to be a good month. Yeah. Images in the gallery include other figures, including Inferno, the recently announced Encore figures Trailbreaker and Hoist, and Cyclonus. And all of these images are courtesy of Cyber Gundam.
So what do you think?
Just now, are these the final color versions?
No, I'm assuming these are prototypes.
Okay. Well, the Dinobot looks, he looks very organic in his animal mode there, right. I must say. That's one thing I do like. I like the more streamlined versions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little less clunky. Personally, never really been a big fan of any of the animal Transformers.
Right.
You know, with the exception of Predacons, because Predaking was just too awesome.
Right.
But, I never liked any of the Beast Wars stuff. But it looks good. I do have to admit it looks good, despite my personal taste.
Okay. Well, also we have G1 Cyclonus Mail Away Reflector and Scourge, and basically these are the knockoffs that Hasbro does not like.
So who's making these then?
I don't know. It looks like there are some Generation 1 knockoffs coming. The new molds include Cyclonus Scourge and Mail Away Edition Reflector set. They appear to be some makers who did the Dinobots and Optimus Prime and other figures that come in high-quality packaging. Let me show you the packaging. The packaging just looks amazing, but for what I've been told about the knockoffs is that they're just extremely, extremely poor quality when it comes to the toys.
Kind of like McFarlane toys. Great in the package, but you try to play with them and they fall apart.
Like here's, of course, Scourge, the Decepticon symbol is red, but the packaging looks exactly like the original packaging.
Yeah, that's... Now, are these being produced, in Japan, Mexico?
I'm presuming Japan, but basically when I was talking to the Mubase 2 guys, they say they bought a couple knockoffs. The knockoffs fall apart. They're not sturdy. The faces are, like, melted sometimes.
Yeah, they don't have the quality control, obviously, that we do over here.
So, and that's Reflector, so... Hasbro encourages you guys not to buy these, and I would say don't buy them, but ask Hasbro to reproduce these things if they can.
That'd be
nice. Around.
Yeah, because I mean, it'd be nice to have the molds again, but yeah, frankly, it's like I've never been a fan of keeping stuff in the package. Like, pull it out, play with it, and if you play with it and it falls apart, then...
Speaking of things that fall apart, we have new images of Universe Bruticus Maximus, and this I have the Devastator Classics, which was basically a repaint. Yay, repaints. From the Energon line, and this is basically another group of toys that they've said, let's slap some stuff together and basically give it a couple feet and see if we can sell it. And, this does not look exciting or thrilling.
So these are knockoffs as well, right?
No, this is actually, these are repaints of Universe characters that they just throw in and say, it's Bruticus.
See, now looking at that unit right there, the helicopter with the red skids. I mean, that to me, that almost screams Happy Meal toy. I mean, the quality looks so poor on that.
It is. The Devastator Classic repaint I got falls apart. It is such a terrible toy. Some of the Cybertron line, some of the Energon line, there were just some really bad toys in those lines, and I'm not impressed with most of them. So, but. All right.
Well, there's that. On to some cartoon news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. So we do have tons of G1 concepts apparently are begging to be in animated.
Please.
Yes. So Transformers animated lead character designer Derek Wyatt has hinted at the possibility of Generation 1 concepts appearing in the television series, as well as some insight into the Arrival comic book. So to quote Mr. Wyatt, there are absolutely tons of G1 concepts that are practically begging to be in animated, writes Mr. Wyatt on his blog, A Delightful Tedium, and maybe some of them will get to appear. He also provides some insight on the character Oil Slick, which will appear in IDW Publishing's Transformers Animated The Arrival comic book series. So... Eric Saibanala from Hasbro showed me, or not me, but, you know, showed the person, his concept for Oil Slick right from the get-go, and he said he was too busy with show stuff to give it much input, but liked what he had done anyway. He said, how could I not like a bot with a Mr. Freeze tank on his head and a ram skull on his shoulder? We really consider Eric to be part of the show's creative team anyway. So Mr. Wyatt also writes that because Marty Eisenberg, who is the lead writer of the Transformers animated series, wrote the 5-issue miniseries, The Arrival, that it is considered part of the series continuity. He also reveals that he has provided some designs for the comic book. So Mr. Eisenberg also had a hand in the storyline for the upcoming Transformers animated video game for the Nintendo DS. So now let me ask you this. So after having just read that, that's great and all, but other than, oh, there's tons of G1 concepts, do we have any information about what he might even be referring to?
The thing I'm taking away from this article is they're basically saying we're very consistent. From comic book to cartoon to everything, the animated series is very, very much scoped out in advance, and everybody is in connections with everybody, and compared to the original show, it's very consistent with its look and feel from one thing to the other.
Well, I hear you, but I kind of get a little hungry for information when it comes in a package like this, which I'm sorry, well, the thing I just read really didn't have much information.
Right, right.
Because when you talk about G1 concepts, here's one of my favorites that I'd love to see. The reintroduction of Energon and a getting away from oil.
They did have Energon in one episode.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, are we talking like broad concepts like that that deal with the way that the Transformers or are we just talking about, oh, we're going to have a Beachcomber character in there.
Yeah,
or we're going to have, you know,
I think it's more character, along the lines of characters.
I mean, that's fine, but I want more information. And, you know, I have to say it again, I really want to get away from oil, for God. They're futuristic robots. They shouldn't be running on unleaded.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, I think sometimes the one thing I'm proud of if the animated cartoon is that they didn't dumb it down so much that adults couldn't watch it.
Oh, I do enjoy it. I'm not saying that I don't. I totally agree. I think the oil and no Energon. Yeah.
I can live with oil. You know, I do agree we should have Energon be reintroduced, but I think they're trying to stretch out all these concepts into longer bits because they could literally, now they have time to say, let's spend several episodes exploring Prowl as a character, you know? Let's actually take some time and develop these characters as more than just, you know, one-off characters. And I appreciate that. It's more like Battlestar Galactica, where it's like, let's spend a couple episodes, you know, exploring what happens in the president's mind and stuff like that.
I agree, but we're talking about two different things.
I know. I don't know what I'm saying. All righty. Well, next thing is animated season 3 to have more chins. Transformers animated lead character design Derek J. Wyatt has attempted to calm the fandom with assurance that the third season of the series will feature more chins and has images to back it up. As we speak, I'm working round the clock to develop new, bigger, bolder, more powerful chins, he writes on his blog, A Delightful Tedium. His message stems from the desperate pleas that Mr. Y has been hearing regarding the chinless characters featured in the recently leaked designs. In his jestful post, Mr. Wyatt writes, the new chins will be so bizarre and enormous, they could actually impact the transformation process. Chins so massive, they just have to be seen to believe. And I will pull up the...
No, see, that's great, because that was one thing that I agree. Like, when they're emoting like they're just mouths, you know, just like regular lips, and they're supposed to be made of metal, I never bought it. Just like when I was little too, as a little side note there, those are some nicely impressive chins, I must say. That's what I'm talking about. But like, you remember Destro from G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
He supposedly had a metal mask on,
and the mouth,
and yet he constantly, and he was kissing the Baroness every third episode, and I never, even as a kid, I'm like, that's a mask, how is that even moving? Like, so I agree.
I thought his face was just painted silver.
No, it's there was an episode where he talks about how ancient his family was, and this is my geekdom coming out here, and they actually go to his ancestral castle and whatnot, and yes, they all wore masks. I forget the exact reason why they wore them. It was an homage to something, but yes, but it was a mask, and he's making out with Baroness with it, and I always thought that along those lines that was kind of silly.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that the guys animating it probably didn't talk to the guys writing it, and I think that's the nice thing about the shows today, is that the guys who are writing it are talking to the comic book people, to the animators, to the toy designers. There's more communication, more consistency with TV shows today, and I appreciate that a whole lot more, because it means, you know, they're trying to make sure people aren't going to go, well, in this episode, so-and-so did this, but in this episode, his power changed, and, you know, trying to get rid of the nitpickiness that, you know, we saw back in the 90s for, you know, like, for example, the Nitpickers guides to Star Trek books, which are just, like, ridiculous.
Right, so.
All right. Or, Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, or like Braun being killed in the movie by a shoulder shot.
Yeah. Well, okay, you know, whatever. There is a whole fandom that says he's not dead.
I know. I had to bring that up again because that was lame.
Remember, Braun, when I shot you with my fusion cannon and I said I'd get you back? A little homage to the guys who did the parody there.
Right.
All righty. Well, we also have a bunch of comic releases, and we're not up on the comics that much, so I would check out the Moonbase 2 podcast. Those guys know exactly everything about comics, and we actually had a whole long segment where they sort of gave me the 411 on what you should buy if you wanted to get back into the comic series and what the order was. And sadly, like I said, I screwed up the audio.
Well, then I tell you what, then next week they can redo that, and then you can just make that as a simple little downloadable sound bite that's not buried in a podcast, because to me, that would be really good information to have in bite-sized, fun form.
Okay, well, I'll talk to them about
right
that.
On.
So, real quick, updates for comics, Transformers comics for January 2009 from IDW. Revenge of the Fallen movie prequel Defiance number 1, Revenge of the Fallen movie prequel Alliance number 2, Maximum Dinobots number 2, Animated Arrival number 6, Animated Volume 7,
Trade Paperback.
Thank you. Classic Transformers Volume 3, Armada Volume 2, and movie prequel Saga of the Allspark, which I believe is a UK comic that they brought over. So, alrighty, so jumping to the smitten of small email we got. This comes from, you know what? I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. Zaid Adil, I believe is how you pronounce your name, sir. And I'm assuming he's translating, so I'm asking everybody to forgive the English here. Dear podcast, most of us have forgotten about the most important Decepticon character in the animated series. Guess, he only showed up in one episode and believed to return, but when his name begins with sound and ends with wave, please send me back. So I believe he's talking about the Soundwave episode where we wanted to see more Soundwave, which I believe is on scope to be shown more in the upcoming season 3 of Transformers Animated.
No, I would agree. I mean, yeah, that there's not much to that, because I mean that has been pretty much confirmed that they're bringing him back in a bit more of a starring role, correct?
Right, right,
right.
So I'm not sure how much, but
and I believe, just so you know, I believe his first name would be pronounced as Zaid.
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 Zaid. So, but thank you for writing to us. So, and I was planning on. Here we go. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead here. Dear Ironhide 1975, Anzi Piper, or whomever this may concern, my name is Primetime on the T-Formers forums, and I'm from the UK. I've been a fan of Transformers ever since I was introduced to them when I was 4 by my neighbor's son way back in 93. Oh boy, you're a youngin'. And started seriously collecting in 2006 and have yet to stop. I have been an avid and loyal listener of your podcast ever since it started and have really enjoyed it. All the mishaps and mispronunciations have made it even more enjoyable. Glad to help you there. I've loved the new section of the podcast This Week in Yay Repaints, as it has been equally brassed off, to put it lightly, and about all the repaints we have been seeing recently. In response to this, I started a new thread in the T-Formers forums about repaints to see if there's a market for them and if the people that did buy them are happy with them. I have just finished listening to your latest podcast and really enjoyed it. Like I said, mishaps and mispronunciations are fun. I would be thrilled and honored to be on your round table with the spoiler situation. I have kept up to date with all the Transformers news, spoilers, and non-spoilers so far. So then he gives me his contact information. Hope you guys keep up the great work, and thanks for making such a fun and informative podcast. Well, Primetime, I was planning on doing the spoilers this weekend due to a lot of issues that just arose this week. I had to cancel it. We're going to be doing a couple round tables here. I am going to try and reschedule the spoilers round table probably in 2 weeks' time. So if you're interested, you haven't contacted me yet, check out sending me an email at podcast@tformers.com. Another podcast roundtable that I'm throwing around is talking about the GoBots cartoon, the original GoBots cartoon. Likes, dislikes about it, what generally people thought about it back in the day and what they think about it now. So that's another roundtable that we like to get going. So if you're interested in that, you can write to us at podcast@tformers.com. com.
That's probably one you don't want me involved with because I am so adamantly against the GoBots.
It wasn't that bad.
My opinion was that they were such a ripoff and so lame.
The cartoon was...
I mean, they had Scooter, which is like cousin Oliver in the Brady Bunch, man. My God.
But you take Scooter out, you take out Smallfoot...
Yeah, but the problem is when you only have a cast of 9 people, and most of them you only saw like 3 of each episode, you can't...
They had the regular standard rotating few, but then they would always introduce a new character with every episode.
I don't know, man. It was like...
I tell you, the episode with Dive was riveting.
Wow, and you know, with an awesome name like Dive, you know, how can you go wrong?
He's like, there's not much use for me on Gobotron, a robot that transforms into a submarine.
I mean, to me, that's like, oh, there's a cash train trundling by. Let's try to hitch a little boxcar to it. That's what the GoBots meant to me.
I thought the cartoon was you had your GoBots, and
they all jumped into their little AT-AT. That was another little ripoff, their little...
Well, yeah. I did the GoBot Command Center, but you know.
AT-AT with a sunroof, whatever.
Ouch.
I know I'm probably pissing off the GoBot fans. You don't want me on that.
Well, it doesn't even matter anymore because Hasbro bought them out. So the GoBots are now just kids' toys. But you know, I don't know. I thought the characters were... I thought it made sense that they shoot out of their hands instead of having guns, but... We'll save that.
I'm gonna quote a little, Sean Connery from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and Indy, let it go. Just don't reach for him anymore. Let's just let
him. That was a good movie compared to the fourth one.
I'll say
that one wasn't bad compared to the recent one with aliens. But
yeah, I'll pass on the GoBot roundtable because I think I've pretty much summated my.
All right. Well, that's pretty much our show this week. Next week, we'll hopefully be joined by the Moobase 2 guys. Once again, guys, sorry for the technical issues. But that's about it. So this is Iron High 1975.
And Crotchety Old Zipiper.
Saying see you later.
I, Galvatron, will crush you just as Megatron crushed Prime.
The TFormers.com podcast is copyrighted 2008, TFormers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Please check them out at myspace.com/gravity33. Call our listener line at 206-495-0746. Or leave us feedback at podcast@TFormers.com. This has been an ENI production, all rights reserved.